You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk. Dr. Shoma.
Hello, Dr. Shoma. Where is Dr. Shoma today?
Oh.
There he is. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good, 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 good. What's the weather like in Johannesburg?
It's pretty decent. It's been horrible. It's been Cape Town winter weather of late, but today is a little bit better.
Wonderful. And your dams are filling up.
They are. They are, fortunately.
Wow. Can't we have some in the Western Cape? Why don't we have a pipeline? Why don't we have a pipeline from your dams to our dams and back?
Or from the fire pool in Nkandla to Cape Town.
Yeah. Bring it. So today we're going to talk about all the good words we shouldn't use.
Should I start us off?
Be careful.
Yo, Master!
Exactly. People have asked me again and again, is there a psychology behind profanity? And I've got to say, there's a sanity of profanity.
Dr. Shoma. You're also a rep star these days, eh? There's sanity in profanity.
Careful, we're going to go completely sideways with the show now. can you boombox something to that?
I wish I could. I'm not that cool.
So sometimes we struggle to mind our language. And, of course, we are well-adjusted people, and we try to not use dirty words too often. And the question is really a good one. Is there anything behind why we would explode into an F-word, a tirade? And here's the question to you. Imagine the scenario. This is just one imaginary scenario of many scenarios you can overlay it with your own experiences. A person discovers that their partner has been having an affair for 5 years, and now you've got to really ask yourself, do you want to stay or not? First thing we all do, we phone the best friend and say, can I come? I'm twisted, I'm torn, this is happening. Do you think those two people, when they get to talk about the partner who has been philandering, who has been having an affair, do you think they're going to use the words of, my bugger of a partner has been looking at other people and doing them, and it's going to stay among those words, and they're never going to use an F word, and they're never going to use anything else but this bugger. Can you even imagine it?
No, emotions will run high, and soon the language will escalate.
Exactly. So why are we so against the occasional profanity? We need to also remember, if you look at the research by Richard Stevens, Keele University, he's discovered that we, in fact, use completely different parts of the brain when we use vocabulary compared to when we use a profanity. It is a word, but in the moment we express it, the overlaying function is what you said, emotion. And it's stunning. The research looked at aphasic people, those with speech impediments that causes brain damage or was caused by brain damage this way around. They could still swear, stunningly. And they said, wow, what is going on here? And that has initiated the whole kind of idea, where is what? Then they did experiments, you see, with stunning experiments. How do you, for instance, stand pain longest? Do you do it by singing a song? Do you do it by imagine a beautiful sunset? Or do you use it by swearing? And they experimented right around the globe where they put people's hands in ice water, which is painful. It gets really, really painful. And they looked at who can stand or hold the hand in longest using what kind of strategy. The people that lasted the longest were the ones that were swearing like troopers. Then they again didn't do, well, who swears longest? Is it the people that are uneducated? Is it the people high IQ, low IQ? Is it unemployed people? And there is again a trend around the world that non-working, unskilled people are using a lot of swear words. But, hello, professionals and with high management skills and that earn a lot of money swear like troopers just the same. So there is this high end and this low end. And then we got to come to, where does it work? Swearing is a very primitive act. It is actually an act that counters all the negative emotions which are summarized, unfortunately, under this big global idea of stress. The stress and strain response, the fight-flight response. when we initiate it, we go into hyper mode. And to dampen that down in traffic, at a bank queue, in confrontation with a person, and sometimes you lose your tether, you lose your foot, you lose your goat, a swear word comes in. And then it helps. It actually calms the brain. Now, please, on this radio show, 702-567, we are not going to tell anybody out there of our listeners, go and swear like a trooper. Because, stunningly, if you use too many, the chemistry in the brain changes and it loses its effectiveness. So what we're saying to you, on occasion, they're very good things to use.
But that's the thing, though. I want to talk about those occasions, even if there's a small number of occasions where swearing can be useful, is that without obviously proselytizing swearing, Dr. Shomer, the truth of the matter is that swearing does also get a bad rep. And this is a very complicated topic because there's interesting politics here. As part of the politics of politeness in discourse, it is often swearing that can be wonderfully disruptive in a way that can not just help you express anger, but express anger legitimately, a way that can challenge authority, that can challenge the norm. I mean, there's a beautiful understated story here about the value of swearing in discourse, and I think we need to also be honest about that some people are scared of swear words because they like the fact that with politeness comes the status quo.
Yes, indeed. You talk about status quo. This is fantastic. We got to negotiate between taboo in your surroundings, in your environment, in the milieu you're working, in the world you're living. Is it in the bus? Is it in your car? Is it in a staff meeting? And I'll tell you where it's really affecting, where it's not. Mm. And, of course, sometimes the swear word has an amazing shock factor effect.
Yes.
And that can be used to your advantage. For instance, you can boost your credibility by saying, damn it, when giving a speech among people that know you.
Mm.
So if you express, damn it, I forgot this, you are actually showing emotion, which brings you, it is mild swearing, of course, damn it, it's not the F word, it's mild swearing, which brings you to, oh, this person is more credible because he's human. Mm. He also, on occasion, gets into these little corners
Absolutely. Where
nothing else seems to work.
Mm.
Stunning,
right.
Isn't it?
Absolutely, and that's a beautiful point because it's a small but important indicator that someone that you thought was perfectly in control of every second of their life is also merely and also human.
Yes. Being a mensch is fantastic. Now, where you shouldn't swear is very clear. And that is the more formal the occasion, the less welcome the profanity. So if you're among friends, colleagues, people that you know, it will help you. If it's among people that have a similar job, do a similar activity, you can use it. If it's very formal, like a staff meeting, and there's the really important issues on the table, it is seen as not appropriate at all. Whereas witty uses of coarse, casual profanity with your friends boosts mood and lowers stress reactivity. So use it appropriately, people. Please, please, please.
Okay, 20 minutes before noon, I want to invite you to call in now. And there are two levels of discussion I want you to have, if I may, with me and Dr. Shomer. The first, of course, which is Dr. Shomer wearing his hat as the resident shrink, is do you have questions for him? Perhaps you need some advice just in terms of behavior. Do you have difficulty with swearing? If you've had difficulty in the past, maybe you can just share with us what has worked to help you control your swearing. So that's one question. That's a psychological question. It is about behavior. And of course, that's the point of this segment. But I also want to widen the circle. I want to know what your attitude, your reflective attitude is towards swearing. I mean, swearing at the moment in South Africa is such a beautiful conversation to have. In Downing, Cape Town, where the good Dr. Shomer is currently, there's an exhibition that has caused a lot of people annoyance with t-shirts saying F white people. I myself was roasted by young people 2 years ago at the Wits Great Hall. call for almost wanting to eject a student that was swearing, saying F white people, and I was told that I'm policing rage and anger. So there's a political dimension here that is open to reasonable disagreement. So if you have questions that are of a psychological nature, behavioral question, the good doctor will help you. If you want to push back, debate a little bit, agree, tell us your attitude towards swearing. Does it have a place in discourse at all? What is its place? Let's get into all of these issues, the political, the psychological, and everything else around swearing. 011-883-0702. Call us right now in Johannesburg and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. We'll take a quick break and then take as many of your calls to the top of the hour right after this.
702 and Cape Talk. Dr. Shoma.
We're having a lekker conversation today about swearing, the psychology around it, behavior, and also the politics of it in discourse. Give us a call. And Dr. Shoma, we've got plenty of calls today. Let's see how many we can get through. First, go to Bryanston. Hello, Margaret.
Hi, hello, Eusebio.
Hi, Margaret.
Can you, often when you on the TV or we were taken to a comedy show about 3 months ago, why do comedians always use the F word, and that seems to be all that they can use in the show? It's dragging you down to their level, and I end up thinking, well, they're just not terribly intelligent.
I was not at the show. I don't know in which context it was used. It would be nice, I totally agree, Margaret, if we had a bit of variety. Yes. It doesn't just have to be one word, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, there's an enormous range of words that can do it. I can imagine if you get stuck in traffic and a taxi cuts in and lets out passengers in front of you, not letting you pass, fudge will not do it.
No, definitely not.
But I agree with you, Margaret. And a lot of there are a couple of comedians who listen. I'm friends with some. I'll ask them the question. A lot of comedians do swear like troopers.
Yeah, it gets eventually you think, well, hang on. Please say something intelligent that we can actually laugh at.
Where's your material?
No, you're absolutely right. It's the same in the brain. It loses effect.
Mm.
It loses effect. So well-placed F words really shock us, and they shock us into fight-flight mode in the brain. They release adrenaline. They give us a little dosage of an anesthetic, and we laugh better. The overuse is the same with all the other pleasurable things in life. When we overuse them, and it's eventually going to hurt.
Absolutely. Hello, Candace.
Hello, Candace.
Hi, Saviors. I've got two things for you. Like, first, I'm interested in knowing, you know, what separates us from each other. I come from a family where I'm the only person that swears. No one else does. So is it genetic or is it my environment that makes me prone to swearing? And then the other point is that, I mean, I mentioned that I swear often, but I often get these looks from my husband's friends, their wives, when I swear in company. I think they almost feel uncomfortable that a woman is swearing and that I'm so comfortable doing it.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Such a beautiful gendered point, Candace.
We expect far more demeanor of grace from a woman than we do from a man. So there are different standards that are men and women held to. And number two, is it genetic? We have no proof of it. We have no research on it. We don't know. The theorists or the behaviorists in the area of language and psychology say it's mostly learning. And at some stage, most probably Kenneth has learned that this word releases some of the tension inside of you, and you will use it well-placed within the language. There are always standards in which families function of what is acceptable or what's not. And you said something very nice as well, that particularly the wives of the people present look at you in a way that they most probably think Candace is slightly deranged. Does that feel true? Is Candace still there?
Hello, Candace.
I'm still here.
Have you ever been taken to the side and said, don't do that?
Have I been?
Taken to the side, quietly and told, don't do that?
No, not at all. I think I'm too, I mean, I'm a working woman. I make my own money. I mean, I'm not that typical housewife type of season. They maybe are. So I don't know if that is also making them feel like a little bit, you know, make me unapproachable when it comes to groups of other women.
Candace, you might come across as strong, as assertive. You can't bugger around with Candace. She's going to say it as it is. And that means you might not fit into the little boxes.
Yeah. Good on you, Candace. Thanks for calling in, eh? Much appreciated. Nice. Let's go to Molniton. Nice. Hello, Shauna.
Shauna, good morning.
Hi, morning to both of you. I just want to say I'd like to disagree with both of you, really. I grew up a little terrorist. I was shoved around from children's home to children's home, orphanages, etc. And my normal language was swear words.
Yeah.
Until I realized I had to do something about this. And I was given 5 cents pocket money every week. And what I did was I said to my friends, if you catch me swearing, I'll pay you my pocket money for that week.
Nice.
And I stopped swearing altogether. To this day, I'm now 57 years old. I can get angry with you. I can say what I want. I'm a strong woman. I don't have to swear. I really don't have to.
Wonderful. You're not even agreeing with us, Shauna.
You know, for some people, it works. Now, what I've done is I've found other words. Like instead of the F word, I use flip. And I express it.
Hey, you've got my word. I love it.
Exactly. It's just as expressive as the swear word without offending anybody.
Yeah.
You know, and if there's any chance you can offend somebody, if there is any chance of offending somebody, why offend somebody? I just believe people who swear just need dictionaries for their birthday. So they just need to increase their vocabulary.
Shauna, you got a very good point, and that's far wonderful. You have trained yourself, conditioned yourself, practiced the way of dealing with your emotions in an expressive, personalized way, which most people don't have a chance to do, or most people don't have an interest to do. It takes dedication, initiative, and effort to do this, what you've done. And for you, it's working. So we don't want to change you. You're not disagreeing with us. We are saying that the normal population, on occasion, can, without being a bad human being, use a swear word. You have done the extreme other side, which is working for you, and you do not have to change.
And I'm just glad I'm not offending anybody in the process. That's the main thing.
When I say strongly like you, oh my, sure. Flip.
Yes.
People know exactly what I'm saying.
Yes. I know exactly what you're saying. And it's just as expressive, and I get just as good results as you're saying the others do.
Yeah. You have conditioned the word flip to have this emotional power that for most the word F-U-C-K has.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nice one.
A couple of others. Okay, thanks, Dr.
Shane. Thank you, Shauna. Let's go to Jeppystown. Ignatius, hello.
Hi, Mr. Ignatius. How's it going?
Very good, Ignatius. Go ahead. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks. You know, we're touching a very interesting subject, you know. I don't know if the doctor can be able to tell me, because basically I grew up listening to too much of gangster rap and being entertained by a lot of movies with that kind of a language. Any movie that doesn't have that language, I don't entertain, I don't watch. But now, I'm a father, I've got a kid, you know what I mean? And obviously, driving around and you've got these guys, like you were saying, a taxi driver cutting in front, and obviously the boy is sitting in a bag, and I would come out, you know, and eventually I'll be like trying to hold myself. And using the substitution of words like the flip, shucks, it doesn't, allow me to say this, it doesn't taste good as the usage of the original language that you wanted to use in substitution of that. So now, what I'm trying to understand is it maybe my background of being entertained by the very music I used to listen to, or is it maybe the atmosphere, the driving, tolerance?
It's a wonderful comment, Ignatius. It's wonderful that you have chosen, consciously and aware, not to, because you saw with what it is associated to. Gangster rap, some of the stuff in there is to shock, to offend and to hurt. Now, you've made a choice and say, as a father with children now, I am not going to educate them into shock and hurt. I'm going to see that they are better adjusted. We are still saying this. Eusebius, Dr. Shoma, all the people that have commented so far, mind your language. See, when you use a swear word, that it expresses emotion but does not put another person down, offend, and hurt.
But, doctor, do you think it would, in substitution of such word, get you into that stage where you feel comfortable about the substitution of their language as it used to with an abusive one? Because the abusive one, it gets you to that status where you feel a little bit comfort. I don't know if I'm using the right word by saying comfort, but you get into that level of saying, oh, that thing is out and it's out there. But now the surrounding people, you know what I mean? He's 2 years old, so you can imagine he's still learning to talk.
Yes, yes, yes. The choice here is very much, does the language fit the milieu in which you live? And does the language that you're using currently give you effectiveness as a human being? I want you to be effective. Doesn't Ignatius want to be effective? I'm sure as a father, you want your children to be effective and to have language at their disposal which makes them function to their best.
Absolutely. Let's squeeze in a final call, Dr. Sharma. I think we've got enough time. In Sydenham, we've got Leon. Hello, Leon.
Hello, Leon.
Guys. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, Leon. Go ahead.
I've got a question. I want to know why. What is the difference between a swear word and a normal word? Why is it so offensive to use swear words? What is the bad thing about you saying flip or the F-bomb? I mean, is there a big difference? What is the situation?
Leon, you ask a very good question, which is why I stayed out of the consensus between Sean and Dr. Sharma. Otherwise, we'll be here for hours.
I love it. Very quickly, Leon. What the swear word does has an association to being dirty, meaning I have shock value. I will have a bigger erection inside of me and the other. That is the difference. Full stop.
When somebody uses it on a regular basis, there's no shock. Because you sound more
completely. Then you've been numbed by too many, and I've said that at the beginning of the show. If there are so many uses and so much overuse, we can't help you. Sorry.
It's part of the language. Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Leon. What a saucy one, Dr. Sharma. We've run out of time.
Imagine, we're going to be fired from this radio show if we use too many F words, right?
Well, there are regulations, yes, absolutely.
There are. Listen to your CBS. There are regulations. On that beautiful note, let's stay within the regulations.
Thank you, Dr. Sharma. Have a wonderful 7 days, and we'll do it again next week.
Till then, cheerio.
Cheers. Bye.